Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to our precious, wonderful, loving Heavenly Father. Father, we are so grateful for your word. So grateful that we can know who you are. We know what you're going to do and how you're going to do it to a certain degree from your word. We are so grateful for the living word of the living God. And we're so grateful for the mighty Holy Spirit to reveal it to us. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to open our hearts to the and minds to the mighty word of the living God. May you reveal it to us by the Holy Spirit today. May we get great and wonderful knowledge and understanding and revelation from your word, that we may be used mightily of the King throughout this universe that we live in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Now then, I want you to recognize the fact that your attitudes, the goal and purpose of your salvation, is that you be conformed to the likeness of Christ. Is it not written? The Lord clearly says in Romans 8:29, he said, "Whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren." That means you and I are supposed to be brothers with Christ. Now, the same Lord who conquered the devil and liberated your heart in salvation is working still to renew your mind. While it is true that he is our promised land, it is also true that we are his promised land. Now, the giants within our heart, though they have withstood and humbled us, shall not withstand him, Jesus. He is the eternal Jesus, the Holy One who knows no defeat. So if we will yield ourselves to him, he can do great and mighty things in our life. But as long as we recognize that our salvation is a continual transformation and that we are changing from glory to glory, like Paul told us, into the image of Christ, we should not be discouraged by the strongholds we discover, nor will occasional or momentary setbacks or defeats render us unuseful. As we see our need, we rejoice in knowing it is only a matter of time before another giant or a stronghold is removed from our life. Now, you must stay with this in whichever one of these strongholds you have, regardless of what these strongholds are, whether the stronghold of failure, or that you're just a sinner. And oh, how many times I hear Christians say all these things. But here's the one that I think that's, well, there's so many of them that so many people use. They don't realize what comes out of their mouth. But this stronghold of fear, I'm telling you, that stronghold, it oppresses men in everything they do. Your experience tells you that if you try something new, especially in front of people, you may be embarrassed or rejected. To counter this is a whole series of reactions which emerge in your mind. You step back when you should step forward. You are silent when you should be speaking. That silent, fearful withdrawal into yourself has become your thought pattern. In other words, it's the house that lives in you. That is the devil that lives in you. It is his house, and his house is put in order or put in there because of your thoughts. He puts those thoughts in there. You yield to them, and he moves in and makes your body his house. Now then, that house or that spirit that's in there now is a spirit of fear. God does absolutely not want you to be in bondage to the spirit of fear. Therefore, let us look at some of the thoughts and experiences that may have formed the structure of this demonic fortress. There's always a reason for these things. Now, let me give you an example. And I've heard people do this to their children. I've heard them in the grocery store. I've heard people out on the job sites. I've heard all kinds of ways that in fact, before I learned these things, I could even sit here and tell you a few things myself about the spirit of fear and how the spirit of fear came into my own daughter. I remember years ago, I had my little daughter when she was about 3, and my son was about 5, and I had them out there with me one afternoon, and I was loading up some steel to build a building with. I reached down that afternoon and picked up a piece of sea iron And when I picked it up, there was a great big 4 or 5 foot long chicken snake under that piece of iron. When I picked it up, that snake, it scared him, and he began to flop around trying to get away. And in the process of trying to get away, he ran right toward my children. As he did, my daughter began to scream at the top of her lungs. So I took that piece of steel and jobbed it down there and got him about a foot back from the head. And then I just reached down by the tail and got him by the tail, jerked him out from under that piece of iron, popped his neck, and killed him. When I did that and threw him off out there to die, my daughter ran toward me, jumped up in my arms, and literally climbed me like a tree to the top of my head. She was literally petrified. Well, right there, that little girl got a spirit of fear. From the time she was 3 years old until she was 15 years old, she would not go outside under any condition by herself at night without her daddy with her. She was afraid of just about everything. Well, one night when she was 15 years old, my wife told me, she come down and got me up about 12:30 in the morning and said, Amanda could not sleep. I went upstairs and asked her what was wrong, and she said, Daddy, I have this fear. When she said she had that fear, the Lord spoke to me and says, she has a spirit of fear, cast it out in my name. I went over there and sat down on the side of the bed, and I commanded that spirit of fear to leave my daughter, and I loosed her from that spirit and bound that spirit into the pit of hell forever in Jesus' name. And then I asked the Father in the name of Jesus to put a spirit of love, joy, and peace in my daughter, and he did, and she went from crying to laughing, and from that day forth, that little girl never was afraid of anything else the rest of her life. She absolutely walked with no fear from that day forward. What allowed that spirit of fear to come into her? That snake, when she was 3 years old, it scared her so bad, it opened her spirit, and that demon of fear ran into her. Now then, think of some other things, like when you were a young child, when you were attempting something new, the reactions among your family or friends. Was it ridicule? Was there thoughtlessness? Were there words that went so deep that in recoiling from the pain, you have involuntarily remained in the recoiled or withdrawn position? Since then, you have refused to place yourself in situations where you can become vulnerable to criticism. You may not even remember the instance, but you have not stopped recoiling even until today. Those kind of events will allow the spirit of fear to come into your life. Now, Jesus said the Father would forgive us as we forgive others. As unjust as it may seem, your reaction to what hurt you was far from the will of God, as the actions were of those who hurt you. In fact, your reaction has actually become a part of your nature. You can be delivered from that oppression of your soul by releasing and forgiving those who hurt you. You have to do this. Now, to the degree that you truly let the incident go and forgive the offender, to that same degree, God will restore your soul to a balanced and healthy attitude toward people. As you increase in this process of forgiveness, you will grow in love, and, as the Scripture says, there is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear, because that's written for us in 1 John 4. Now, the stronghold of fear will be replaced by the stronghold of love. Now, when you realize that unforgiveness does not destroy the other person, it destroys you. So you must recognize the fact that you must not hold unforgiveness toward other people, because it will literally bring sickness and disease and death to your doorstep, and you don't want that. Now, always remember that victory begins with the name of Jesus on our lips, but it will not be consummated until the nature of Jesus is in your heart. It is not enough to have your house swept and just put in order, like Matthew 12 says, but your thought life must be occupied by the person of the Holy Spirit, or with Christ. As you persist in yielding yourself to Christ, He will absolutely removes Satan's armor from your man. He will show you what you need to bring down. You will see that the weapons of your warfare are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Now then, generally speaking, strongholds originate from any one of three sources. The first is the very world into which we have been born. The steady stream of information and experience that continually shaped our childhood perceptions is the greatest source of strongholds within us. The amount of love or lack of love in our home, our cultural environment, peer values and pressures, as well as fears of rejection and exposure, even our physical appearance and intelligence, all combine to form our sense of identity and our view of life. Our souls, wrought with insecurities, are highly sensitive to the criticism and compliments of others. In the search to find yourself, such words are poured into your heart like molten steel, which as they cool are fused into our nature. How many of today's adults believe they are mentally slow simply because as children, they absorbed into their self-concept the negative, thoughtless scolding of a teacher or a parent? That never ceases to amaze me. That's why we as adults, believers in Christ, we ought to continuously on a regular basis lay our hands upon the children, the little children, the bigger children in our congregations, and we should bless them in the name of Jesus. We should speak a blessing over them. We should tell those children, you are a great potential for the kingdom of God, and I bless you with good health and prosperity and long life and knowledge and wisdom, and I know that God is going to use you mightily for his kingdom. I have done that and spoke that blessings over children, and many days and months later, even years later, I have had children come back and still be able to quote that blessing that I spoke over them when they were a young person, and it has forever changed their lives. What you say makes a great impact on people, so make sure that you don't give the devil any right through what you say to put a stronghold on someone. You put a stronghold on them of the love of God so that they will be able to walk in obedience to God's mighty word. I'd like to, for you to write us, or call us rather, at 940-242-2106 for outlines, for teachings, for tapes on these subjects that we teach on. Also like to invite you out to our church, the Living Savior Church, every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. It's at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. You go up 35 to Walnut Hill, go east on Walnut Hill, four streets to Shady Trail, turn right. We're about 300 yards on the right. Come expecting the Lord to do a miracle in your life. Praise the Lord Jesus.